Io, i Vavava sono giocati in partire, di Mesita, Carbonari, Caro, che è giocato in banda, Thompson, Parana, Bavasia, Bhagavatari, Purushasya, Andri Yugalano, Vapta, Yayan, Bavina, Parirandita, Kashya, Vashio, Vadato, Apimana, Vadano, Mahatan, Mahitalam, Anushasa, Translation. Shambhati, following the order of Supreme Personality of Godhead, Maharaj Priyavrata fully engaged in worldly affairs, yet he always thought of the lotus feet of the Lord, which are the cause of liberation from all material attachment. Although Priyavrata Maharaj was completely free from all material contamination, he ruled the material world just to honor the orders of his superiors. Shambhati's purport. The words of Mahavadano Mahatam, just to show the honor to superiors, are very significant. Although Maharaj Priyavrata was already a liberated person and had no attraction for material things, he engaged himself fully in environmental affairs just to show respect to Lord Brahma. Arjuna had also acted in the same way. Arjuna had no desire to participate in political affairs or fighting at Kurukshetra. But when ordered to do so by the Supreme Lord, Krishna, he executed those duties very nicely. One of the obvious things about the feet of the Lord is certainly above all contaminations of material world. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Yoginam api sarvesham madgate nantaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yomam samayuktatamumataha. Of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga, and is the highest of all. Shrimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, verse number 47. Maharaj Priyavrata therefore was a liberated person and was among the highest of yogis. Yet, superficially he became emperor of the universe in accordance with the order of Lord Brahma. Showing respect to his superior in this way was another of his extraordinary qualifications. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, chapter 17, text number 28. Narayana parasarve nakutashana vidyate sarvopavarga narakesh apitulyata darshanaha. Devotee who is actually advanced is not afraid of anything, provided he has opportunity to execute the order of Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the proper explanation of why Priyavrata Maharaj is engaged in worldly affairs. Although he was a liberated person, also only because of this principle, does Mahabhagavata, who has nothing to do with the material world, come down to the second platform of devotional service to preach the glories of the Lord all over the world? In the previous shlokas, it was mentioned that Priyavrata Maharaj didn't want to take this position of being a householder and looking after the universe and getting into the material activities and so on. So, but he still did it because Lord Brahma himself came and told him. Here the reason for why he didn't want to get into it is was maybe you're going to forget Krishna. He had very deep relationship with Krishna. He was a truly liberated person and he didn't want to lose that relationship. Therefore he was reluctant to accept this position when his father told him to. So, therefore Lord Brahma had to come to ensure the situation. Lord Brahma came to ensure and told him that you will perform these activities, you will be ruling the world for many, many thousands of years, and on the end, you will go back to Gata. You will have the relationship maintained during the whole time. You're not going to lose that relationship with Lord Krishna. So it's very important, because for devotee the most important thing is relationship with Lord Krishna. That's the central core of the whole existence of a devotee. That's everything basically. On the beginning of the whole thing, or the whole chapter, Srila Prabhupada mentions that the mission of human life, let me check that one section, I want to quote it. Of human life, King Parishit Maharaj, King Parishit Shukara Goswami, O great sage, Vajit Din Priyavrata, who is a great self-like devotee of the Lord, remain a house for life, which is the root cause of bondage of karma, and which defeats the mission of human life. So the mission of human life is to basically get rid of the bondage of material, of the karma, and re-establish our relationship with Lord Krishna. So here in this shloka, shloka 23, Priyavrata Maharaj mentions that he didn't want to lose that connection. He wanted to maintain that mission of human life. He wanted to stick to it. He didn't want to lose it. So, Srila Prabhupada mentions that, also Shoka mentions that, he engaged in world affairs, but he didn't yet. He engaged in world affairs, but at the same time he was thinking of Lord Krishna continuously. So how does this is possible? Generally, we have no difficulty with understanding that we always have to remember Krishna and never forget him. That's very easy to understand. But the difficulty comes when we have different activities that we perform, and then because of those activities, sometimes we get in a situation where we actually forget Krishna. So how we can avoid that? Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions in the Jaivadharma, I think chapter 2, there are two natures of living entity. There's an eternal nature and the temporary nature. This we usually refer to in our ISKCON language as a condition, constitutional position, and the conditioned nature. So constitutional position is easy. Jiva Sarupa Hoy, Krishna Nitya Ras, Krishna Tatasta Shakti Vira Vira Prakash. So the living entity is Krishna's servant, eternal servant always, eternal servant, and he is non-different and same with Krishna, non-different and different from Krishna, with Krishna at the same time. So this is basically very simple to understand. Similarity must be there, because without similarity there is no relationship. And if there is no difference, there again cannot be relationship. So for sake of interaction, there has to be a difference. So that's easy to understand that part. We are with Krishna's servant because we are created by Lord Krishna. Therefore we are Krishna's servant. Now the other part is a difficult, where we're dealing with the conditioned nature. When the living entity's nature changes due to the environment that he is in. For example, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions the water. Water is liquid. That's the eternal nature of water. Water is liquid. But for some reason, sometimes water turns into steam or turns into ice because of the external effects coming affecting it. So similarly, the living entity's nature will be altered due to the trimus of material nature, and because he accepts the material body. So there will be a little bit different there. So how to accommodate that? So the temporary nature of the living entity is based on quality and work, based on how the influences of the trimus of material nature creating those. So how we can deal with it, this condition nature, is basically, first thing is sadhu sangha. We always have to maintain relationship with devotees. Always have to be in contact, because we want to perfect our lives. So if we want to perfect our life, perfection is only coming from sadhu sangha. Sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarva shastri koi, lavamaku, sadhu sangha, sarva sutti koi. Sadhu sangha is discover our shastras, that only by the sadhu sangha one can achieve any sort of perfection. So if you want to get any sort of perfection, it has to be in association of devotees. Otherwise, we won't get full perfection. We maybe get good in some things, but if it's not connected to Krishna and devotees, it's not in the association of devotees, then we won't get transcendental perfection. We won't get connection with Lord Krishna. We're going to miss that link, that connection with Lord. That's the most important, because that makes our activities spiritual. Then other element is smartavasatam vishnu vismataryam jatuchit. Always have to remember Lord Krishna and never forget him. So whenever we do an activity, we always have to dynamically improve it and try our best to please Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani. So that is basically the smartavasatam vishnu principle. That's the second step what we can do to spiritualize our activities in conditioned nature. Always remember Krishna and try to please or try our best to please Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani. This being trying our best is very, very important here. We always have to improve our quality of service, our behavior, and everything whatever we do, we always have to improve. Bhakta Saraswati used to mention that in the night you beat your mind with the shoes. In the morning you beat him again. So we have to, and why is it important? In the night, when we go to sleep, we reflect on what did we do all day? How did we do it? What did we do right? What did we wrong? What was wrong with it? How we can improve on it? And in the morning when we get up, same thing, make a plan. It's one thing, should be just a few seconds, maximum minutes. Think about it. What we want to do on that day, how can we do it? Make a plan. I know yesterday I made this mistake, today I won't make this mistake. I should avoid this mistake. I should protect myself. How can I protect myself from this mistake? By making this such and such arrangement. So making a boundary, making a arrangement for it. So we're not going to fall into the same mistake again. This way we can improve ourselves. So this makes our spiritual life dynamic. Improvement. Every time we improve. Pretty well improved mentioned many times. We take, for example, take a rock, we throw it up first. And it's going up fast and slowing down. And for a split second it stops. Then after what happens? It's coming back down. And it's coming back down, it's speeding up. It's coming faster and faster down. So if it falls down, it's good because it doesn't speed anymore. Doesn't go down anymore. But what is the importance of this is we practice our devotional service as long as we're pushing it, as long as we are inspired and keep pushing it, then it goes going up. And we stop, it's going to go in split seconds, because after that we're going down. So we have to make sure we never stop. You would say that stopping is what's wrong with stopping. No, that's already a problem. But don't stop. When it's dynamic, it's going forward, going up, up, up. Then it's working. When it's not going up anymore, that's a problem already there. And many times we don't see that problem. And many times we just think, okay, now I just take a rest, I go for holiday. There's no such thing as holiday. When we think of holiday, that means we're going down. It's not going up anymore. So the dynamic and devotion and devotional service. Then the next one is in the shloka number 16 in this chapter. Basically, the devotee accepts everything as karma. I happen, this things happen to me is because of karma. And my duty is to serve Krishna, doesn't matter what. I perform my activities to please him, doesn't matter what. And whatever things happens, okay, it happened is good because of good karma, it happened because of bad karma. But after some time this karma will all go. And I get fully purified and then I'm going back to Godhead. There's a shloka in the Rig Veda, it says, Tad Vishnu Paramam Paragamsara Pashanti Suraya. Devotees of Lord Vishnu, they are always looking out of their material world. They're seeing everything in the spiritual world. Paramam Param, Lord Vishnu's lotus feet or his abode. So they're always looking out. They see everything happens in the material world, it just happens there. It will happen anyway, it's a machine, it will keep running. But when our karma is over, our life is over, we go back to God. That's the devotee's vision. Other thing is self-control and self-satisfaction. I'm satisfied with whatever happens to me. It's understanding that yes, this what happens is Krishna's energy. So that satisfaction is very, very important. Of course, there's the other side of it. You have to be dissatisfied with your spiritual progress, your chanting, and a few more, I forgot what Chanakya mentions. But those things you have to be dissatisfied. There's also, they say that a manager, he should be always dissatisfied. He shouldn't be satisfied with whatever he achieved already. He should always like to achieve more, increase on whatever he's managing. So there are a few things where you're not supposed to be satisfied in, but generally, whatever you get, you should be satisfied with. And try to improve on your spiritual life, practice spiritual life. And self-control, very important part of self-control. There are four qualities mentioned which are very important for relationships. One is being self-controlled, so what we restrict, we control ourselves and won't be greedy and so on. Second is satisfaction, same thing. Not to be greedy, satisfied with whatever situation we get in the material world, or in the spiritual world also. Be satisfied with whatever we get, and other one is being chaste. Chaste means following a system and stick to it and develop it, not jumping from one system to other system. And the fourth one is sensitivity, yes, sensitivity. The sensitivity is being sensitive of other persons around us and understanding everybody's Krishna's part and parcel. That means we wouldn't disrespect anybody. We deal with them as Krishna's servants. That sometimes clashes a little bit. Sometimes somebody has some funny ideas and we tell them, hey Prabhuji, that don't do that. Oh, I can do whatever I want. Well, yeah, but you are Krishna's part and parcel. That means you cannot do whatever you want, isn't it? You have to do whatever you're supposed to do. You are Krishna's servant, that's your nature, so you cannot step over that. And it's my duty, because I'm your friend, to remind you about that. So don't get angry. I try to do a favor for you. If you notice that, see, I try my best, try to help you. If you notice that, it's up to you. But I did my duty to help you. So this way, our interaction is based on Krishna. And it works. He's not disrespecting anybody. Although we told him, what he's doing is wrong. So we have to always keep maintaining this relationship element. It's very, very important. The spiritual world is relationship. So we want to get the spiritual world. Relationship is everything, basically. So that the sensitivity element is very, very important. Then there's a this shloka is very special actually, it's a shloka number 18 in the same chapter. This gives basically the principles of sannyas. How somebody can be eligible for sannyas. One who is situated in household life and who is systematically conquers his mind with the five sense organs is like a king in a fortress who conquers his powerful enemies. After one has been trained in household life and his lusty desires have decreased, he can move anywhere without danger. So basically sannyas means one who can be free from material contamination and conquer his sense organs and mind and overcome his lusty desires. Then the person is eligible for sannyas. But it is the grihastha's duty to accomplish this. Because under the grihastha life, one has to move on to vanaprastha and sannyas. One is being a brahmachari, learning how to perform spiritual activities. Activities in spiritual life. Because activities are there, everybody does them. But how to do it in spiritual life, that's the duty of brahmachari to learn. Grihastha must practice these things. Vanaprastha must understand these things. Why it works, how it works, what are the benefits, how everything affects the society and so on. And sannyasi has to renounce this and understand the higher purpose behind it and follow that purpose and preach to others how to perform these activities. So everybody has to move on, so we have to move on. Brahmachari has to become, not have to become grihastha, they can move on that to sannyas. But there's a progression. Brahmachari to grihastha, grihastha to vanaprastha to sannyasi. Some brahmacharis, they skip it. They can go from brahmachari straight to sannyasi. That's also one part, that's the problem. This is called Naishika Brahmachari system. But here in this canto now we're going to focus on, at least in this chapter, about grihastha ashrama and how grihastha ashrama is being practiced. What is the fundamental principle behind it? What are the moods? How the whole thing functions? How is it accomplished that they are free from material contamination and they perform the grihastha duties? So then he mentions here systematically control the mind and the sense organs and lusty desires. Systematically. Why the systematical is very important here? Because there is a system how the material world works. As mentioned here before, Lord Rama mentioned that you have to perform these activities because the whole material world is made on very principles. Very principles, they run the world. So everything works on a system. If you don't follow them, then Krishna, what Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, nashroshasi vinashasi, you will perish. If you don't listen, you will perish. So we have to follow these rules. The system was given by Krishna, we have to follow. If not, then we will suffer. Material energy is here to make sure that we will understand it. She will make us suffer. And not because she doesn't like us, because she loves us. She's going to make us, see, doesn't work. Now you understand it doesn't work. Still you understand it doesn't work. Once more. One more slap. This way. Now that oh, cannot go. Like there's a story with the Shiva Maharaj mentioned with the donkey and the washerman. Washerman is going to the Ganga, taking the donkey to take bath. So then, trying to pull the donkey inside the water. What donkey doesn't like cold water, so it doesn't go inside the water. So then, washerman pulling, calling some friends, pulling, doesn't work. So finally, what they did, they figured out the donkey can go only forward easily, sideways doesn't go so easily. So what they did, they pushed him, put him sideways and throw him inside the water. Throw him over his legs, so he's falling inside the water and bake him. So material energy is like that. She's teaching us. Because she cares for us, loves us. She wants us to go back to that path. So then she's pushing us from left to right to go and stay on the path, not to follow the path of great devotional service. So, but sometimes we are so stubborn that we don't listen. So then because of that, she has to use more forceful means to get us to do the right thing. So like that. So here the system, systematical control of the mind, I'll be getting to more on the end of the class, towards the end of the class. I have two more points to mention because this one is actually coming in the shlokas as Lord Brahma mentioned here. Next point is taking shelter of Lord Krishna. That's very, very important, basically the core element of the whole system. Our devotional process is given by Srila Prabhupada. Basically, it's made of three circles or three systems. One is called the Bhagavad Vidhi. Bhagavad Vidhi is based on four things, as I remember. It's staying in the holy land, chanting the holy name, assisting with devotees, and studying Srimad Bhagavatam. That has been the support of it. These are the four core elements which everybody, every devotee will do. Doesn't matter on what kind of service they do, if they sit under the tree, chant the holy name, they will do this four. This is the Bhagavad Gita, the core, most important items of devotional service. Then there is a Pancharatri with other 60 items. So 64 items of worship. This is the Pancharatri, deity worship. So there are different regulatory processes that are given in Pancharatri for us. We have to get up in the morning, have to worship the Lord in the morning, early morning. First thing we do is worship the Lord. Before we go to sleep, worship the Lord. So this will regulate our life. But some people can follow the first, the Bhagavad Gita, they can only sit under the tree, like Aindra Prabhu used to do. Sitting under the tree is a bhajan kutir, he's a tree there. Or sit in the temple room under the tree. And then just worship Krishna, do the kirtan whole day, and just chant the holy name. When he used to get up in the morning, then he used to do his bhajan, used to worship the deities. And he wouldn't eat until his deity worship is finished. And I don't know if anybody knows it, but he used to have many deities. He used to have Goditai and so many shravans and so many other deities. So he used to start in the morning and finish, I don't know, like evening sometimes, like that. He used to do kirtan between. So that was his schedule. He only used to do that. Worship deities and chant the holy name. And when devotees come, they used to associate with devotees, talk about Srimad Bhagavatam and other scriptures. So what he did? Staying in the holy land, Vrindavan, chanting the holy name, studying Srimad Bhagavatam, and associating with devotees. Four things what he used to do, that was his. So he is basically a person whom you can see a Bhagavad, following Bhagavad Gita. Then other persons who follow Pancharatra. Most of us basically we follow Pancharatra. Mangalarti, the holy deity worship, like that. Do everything for the deity. So those devotees who can follow Bhagavad Gita, they follow Pancharatra Gita. But there are some devotees who still, they need more, there are more desires they have. So when they get married, they follow Varnashrama. So Varnashrama is basically the next circle. So you have the fourth circle is the Bhagavad Gita, Pancharatra, and then next step is Varnashrama Gita, Varnashrama Dharma. So, but in all things, all these spheres, the core is the taking shelter of Lord Krishna. So this four is always there. Doesn't matter if somebody, Brahmachari, Vyasavanta, Sannyasi, these four elements of staying in the holy land, studying Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting the holy name, and associating with devotees is always there. This is the core. This is me taking shelter of Lord Krishna. Without this, nothing will work. We might perform so many Varnashrama activities, we might worship deities. There was one devotee in Sri Lanka. He said, I'm worshipping the deities for a long time. I'm 50 years old now. I worshipped the deities for a very long time. But only recently, I figured that is Krishna, and that is God, and there's a relationship with him. He said, I was a pujari for so many years. But only recently, I understood that Krishna is a person. Because he used to worship the deity, a stone, like that. But now I worship him as a person. So he said that it's a big deal actually for him. It actually is a big deal. Because he might do the activities, some ritual activities are there. Brahmanas, they do so many things, worshiping all this svaha, that svaha. But then taking shelter of Krishna, these four things, if he's not there, it doesn't work. Similarly, our real life also. He might do so many things. We build so many things for Lord Krishna, make so many services and so many big things, projects. But if you don't do this for, there's no inspiration, nothing is, there's no substance to it. This is me taking shelter of Lord Krishna. And Arama, accepting everything as service, this is also in Shloka number 19. Accepting everything as a service. Priyavata Maharaj was managing the whole universe as a service to Lord Krishna. Because Lord Brahma told him. Lord Brahma is a representative of Lord Krishna. He is the first created being in the material world. And everybody has basically connection to Lord Brahma, to Lord Krishna, in the material world. So he was a qualified person who actually could make the statement, yes, you will be say it. You will open the fourfold mind. And he gives the, he actually ordered him to do it. Okay, so now you pray automatically, get married, take care of the whole universe. You are the ruler of the next ruler of the universe now. So, but he took it as a service. Everything as a service. We might have big work to do, so many things to do, but it always has to be a service. What are we to? Bhaktivinoda Kumar Maharaj mentions more than brushing with a toothbrush. So beginning from there, why are we brushing our teeth? To make our mouth clean. And why are we taking bath? So our body is clean, so we are eligible for worshiping Lord Krishna. We come to a temple, worship Lord Krishna. Why? Because Krishna is clean. Krishna is pure. So we have to come to the same level. Because interaction is, as we say, is on bit with equals. So we have to come to the same level. We have to be pure. Like that. So because of that, we have to do all these different activities. So what will we do? We always have to do other service. We have to remember that whatever insignificant things we do, it is a service. We have our carpet in the room because it is a service for Lord Krishna. We clean the room, it is a service for Lord Krishna. Everything has to be a service. Okay? I wanted to share how much time we have actually, because they said that I should finish by 45. 5 minutes, okay. So quickly, I wanted to elaborate more on the systematical control in the mind. I did so much studies and I came up with, I wanted to share some of my realizations with our attitude. Bhagavad Gita is supposed to be sharing some realizations. So I came up with a few points. The principle of elevation means we always have to improve ourselves. The principle of situation. So an application. The different situations are there in our lives, but we always have to see how we can apply Krishna consciousness to it in every activity. And the application should be how Krishna did or how devotees did. How we can know that? It is in Srimad Bhagavatam. There's a statement in the Vedangas. Basically every Vedanga begins with this. Vedangas means the accelerated knowledge which needs for studying the Vedas. They said that the six Vedangas, Shiksha and Chanda. Shiksha is pronunciation and Chanda is verse, metrics. So these two we need to chant the Vedas. When we study Vedic scripture, we need these two to chant the Vedas. Then other two are there, Vyakarana and Nirukta. Vyakarana is grammar and Nirukta is vocabulary, dictionary. So these two we need to understand the Veda. Then there is Kalpa. Kalpa is ritual, shows us how to do different activities. So how to do activities is given us in Srimad Bhagavatam. This way we can know how to perform our devotional activities. For example, how to get married. There's a shastra for that as explaining how to get married. Then how to beget children. The shastra explaining how to beget children. It's called Griya Sutras. And so on. How to start education, how to do the class, how to educate children. Everything is shastra for it. So then that's the ritual element of it. Then there's also Jyotish. Jyotish explains when to perform different activities. Which is auspicious and which is not auspicious time for different activities. It doesn't really make us so much sense because we're not really dealing with full spectrum of life in our lives. But if you go to village, then they deal with everything. In the cities we go to the shop, buy the vegetables. But in the village they grow the vegetables. So if they're not planted in auspicious time, they won't get results. Time is basically, they have like 1 week period when they have to plant everything. I believe there are good times and bad times. So they have to choose the best time to plant the things. If they miss the time, for example for harvesting, they miss the time, the rain comes, it's finished. Everything is lost. So auspicious time is always very important. In our village life, we can see it very much. And in our city life also, we can see that. So in this way, devotion and also there are things that we have to follow, like that. Our auspicious time for Mangalati is early morning, for example. Chanting japa is also better in the morning. If you chant late night or afternoon, then somebody always knock on the door. Oh, Prabhuji, a long time no see, you know. How are you? You know, I came from, just came from, I don't know, Mauritius, you know, and all these things, you know. And time is gone. And end up in the evening, 8 rounds. Uh-oh. So auspicious time for chanting japa is in the morning. Because whatever you do in the morning, you're going to be expert in it. So you want to be expert in chanting rounds. Do it in the morning. So like that. So situation replication. Then other thing is position. This the principle of position. Okay, here principle of position. For example, there is a shloka in Bhagavad Gita, many shlokas are actually mentioned. I am such and such person amongst such and such people. Maharshi and Bhrigu, I'm out of Maharshi and Bhrigu. Then out of different words, I am Om, the final syllable, and so on. So there's a position here. I want to actually split this into two, this position element. One is the position of being a servant. Everybody has the understanding that we are position, our position, constitutional position, that we are servant of Lord Krishna. And we always serve Krishna, whatever, it doesn't matter what happens, we always serve him. But there's another element to position also, the position of authority, position given by Lord Krishna. So that's a position sometimes we have to step up into. Like for example, position of a teacher, position of manager, position of a mother, wife, so on, husband. And there's responsibility behind it. So how this works? And some people come and worship us. So how this works? So the principle is that there's a very famous saying from Gujarat. Everything comes from Shinaji and going to Shinaji. Everything comes from Krishna and going to Krishna. That means we get worship from some people, then we pass it down or pass it up to the parampara, to Lord Krishna, because everything is for Lord Krishna. Sarva, Deva Namaskar, Keshava Pradigachati. We might worship different personalities, but actually we worship Lord Krishna. All the worship is going towards Lord Krishna. So, but our duty is to take the position in those situations. And that means we represent Lord Krishna, represent the parampara, represent the principle of authority. So in this way, if we do that, then we have a proper understanding of what we're supposed to do. We know exactly what we have to do and won't have any difficulty with doing the right thing. But if we fail with this, then we always face difficulties. The principle of position or as representative, being representative of Lord Krishna, is very, very important. When we represent Lord Krishna, we have to actually act on behalf of him. We have to take care of those people who are under us. We have to deal with them as Lord Krishna will deal with them. Like that. But if we don't do that, then we will fail and we will suffer. Although sometimes, for example, we have in Gurukul, I have many times happened. Boys, they ask me, can we go to Jalandhar? Well, there's nobody there to take you now because all the big boys are busy and the teachers are busy. Now we have a meeting with the big boys, so we can't go now. Oh, but we really want to go. Please, please, please. Okay, so your heart is melting, you know. You really like to go and take the boys to Jalandhar, small boys. But the situation is not right because there's no situation that we can provide for them. So there's some difficulty there, but our duty is as an authority to tell them, no, we cannot. Situation right? The situation will be right, maybe in afternoon we can make something up for you guys, we can go. No, but I want to go now. No, we have to be able to say no, have to explain to them no, because this is not the right thing to do. If you go now, some accident happens, but what happens? You're going to get hurt. No, what's going to happen? Big disaster. And Jalandhar is a very dangerous place, or Ganga even more. Many devotees lost their life there. And there are so many sharp things in the water, also some clay pots and this and that. You can get cut. So one person cannot keep you to Jalandhar. We have to have more, because then you're not one boy only. You have one children, one child. You can take them, one person can take him to the Jalandhar. But they have 30 kids, one person, one teacher is not enough. Anything, any emergency is there, I have to run with it. As you take the boy, take it to Krishnagar, to the hospital, then what? So you have to explain to them. So if you explain it properly, that even if we have to say no, or have to be heavy on somebody because somebody did a mistake, there's a proper explanation, and there's a what it happens out of love and care, and we represent Krishna, because Krishna does everything out of love. Krishna is Rasa himself. Like that. He is love himself. So if we do everything according to that approach, then what? Nobody will complain. They may feel kind of disappointed. Yes, I wanted to, I have so many big plans, you know, I wanted to do this and that. But if you tell them, no, it's not the right thing to do, Krishna won't be happy with it because such and such reasons. And you go to the shastra and explain to them, then yeah, they will understand it. Then the relationship is maintained properly. If it is not like that, then the relationship will suffer. And many times we have difficulty, we don't spend the time with that, explaining it. It's very, very important, this explaining. Okay, I think time is up. So if anybody has any questions or comments, it's out of the end of class.
How is it possible for everyone to stay in the Vedanta?
Srivara Maharaj asked actually the same question to Srivara Maharaj, Srivara Maharaj in Hungary. So then he mentioned there are two persons living in the Holy Land, or two ways to live in the Holy Land, one in body and one in mind. So he said that most important thing is the mind, anyway, in either case. So somebody may be staying in the Holy Dhamma in Mayapur or Vrindavan or Puri or different other Holy Dhammas are there. But somebody may be here only in mind. For example, somebody is living in the West, performing the activities. I remember he was telling me, when I go for Sankirtan, I have this money bag. And when I open it, but it's there, Radha Madhava. And then he said, I went for Sankirtan. I went to some Nepali house, and some Nepali gentleman was there, and then he called me, okay, come in, please, come in. We are some devotees, we are some practicing, we actually come from Kathmandu, like that. And what you see on the wall is a big picture of Radha Madhava. So it was imaginable, you're also here, you're everywhere, the Holy Ram is everywhere. So that you can understand that if you think your mind is in Holy Ram, then you're in the Holy Ram. Doesn't matter what you do, where you are. Here in Holy Land. Other element, my Guru Maharaj was telling me, Bhakti Vidyapura Maharaj. Whenever Bhakti Vidyapura Maharaj goes by Tulsidevi, he always overobserves it. And why? Because Vrindadevi is very dear to Lord Krishna. And where she is, that's Vrindavan. She overobserves it, you're in Vrindavan. So that's another option you have. So if you cannot stay in Holy Land, Tulsidevi is there, you overobserves it to her. Think of Lord Krishna in Holy Land, think of Radha Madhava here, think of devotees who are here. You can always go to Mayapur.com and associate it with Mayapur and closure like that. Is that clear? Shukpar ki jai, Ganraj Shambhagavatam ki jai, Nagore Pranandev.